WRV Roseville, Sacramento, an iHeart Radio station.
The Dog and Joe Show
on 93.7
The River.
Call the Dog and Joe Show at 916-766-9370.
Hey, appreciate you hanging. Steve, welcome. What's going on? We're talking about this morning these 8 experiences all couples should go through before they get married. We'll get back to the list after you, Steve. What's up? What do you think couples should do?
Hey, fellas, how you doing this morning?
Good.
Good, man.
I just got one thing to say about getting married to your significant other. What you should do, because what I did was I lived with my significant other for like 7 years before we actually got married. We ended up getting married, and then after 7 years of marriage, I started making just about as much money as she did. So our finances, like, she looked at me differently because we were more equal. Do you understand?
Oh, I like, see. That's the thing, too. See, there's a breadwinner in almost every relationship, and typically the breadwinner, whether you want to or not, gets a little more respect or has a little more pull. And sometimes when there's two working people in a marriage, there's this pecking order, and one's always making fun of the other or feels that they have more power over the other if they're not on
exactly
an equal playing field financially.
I was broke all throughout my 20s, so I pretty much missed out on like partying. I never went to college. She went to college. She partied. You know, I missed out on all that, you know, because I was broke. And now that I got a little money, yeah, I like to go to the bar and have a few beers now and then, you know, or hang out. And I like to go shooting a lot, so I spend a lot of money on guns and stuff. But I like to get out and do things now because I have money.
So what are you saying? Is that putting a strain on your relationship now that you're married?
Yes, she doesn't have control of me like she used to.
Oh, the dichotomy. See, what he's got now is some brass in pocket, and he never got to play. Now he wants to go run around because he's making money like she is, and now she's not digging it.
She doesn't want to. I mean, you don't want her to go with you, or?
Oh, yeah, I take her every time I can, but, you know, it's getting old because she won't let me go on my own. It is a different situation, too.
Oh, I learned about that in therapy.
Okay.
Right.
That's
what we're in right now. We're doing that right now.
Hey, that's good and healthy, bro. You should be doing that. That's called codependency.
Right. Oh, I hate when you bring this jargon to the radio.
I'm not kidding you. Am I right or am I wrong about it? That's what
you're right.
I'm right. And that's what me and Emily had. We had horrible codependency. And I'm telling you, that's one that should be on this list of 8. Do not. You cannot marry a codependent person or your life will go to hell.
So you're saying that you should always be equals.
You should be able to allow your spouse or partner to have their own free time, and you should be happy for them to have their
free
time. So
if one's got a hobby, the other needs one. It can't just be all one-sided.
And you cannot, you can't get jealous that your partner enjoys doing something that you may not enjoy. Like, say your partner likes to rock climb, but you're scared of heights. You don't really want to rock climb.
Yeah.
Let him or her go do it, and then you go out with your significant other friends.
Yeah.
You know, or not significant other, but your friends.
Yeah.
And do your own thing, and be happy about that. And then when you come back together...
You also have to have your own personal time as well.
Yeah, absolutely.
And, you know, and there's a trust issue with us and everything. So
who screwed up that? Who got caught cheating?
No. Well, no cheating at all.
Okay, but who's got the wandering eye?
No, none of that.
You're talking to a guy who's been married 22 years, bro. He knows all about that.
Who's got the wandering eye? Who's got the little pinchers out? You know, who's a little more grab-assy than the other that brought the suspicion up?
She gets a little jealous when I look at other women around her.
Okay, you got the wandering eye. Just say it.
As long as you ain't acting on it.
Yeah. I mean, if someone's jealous, it's because someone else did something that other person.
Typically.
And there's reason to believe. So whether you cheated or not, you have the wandering eye, and she doesn't trust you as much.
Oh, I see the way you put it, and that makes a lot of sense now that you said it.
It's like I told Joe, don't go to that therapist and give her all the money. Give it to me. I'll sit you down, and I'll analyze you.
I love my therapist. She changed my world.
How long? Have you ever asked your therapist how long she's been married?
Her whole life.
She was born with a husband.
She like 40-some years or whatever, you know?
Yeah, because a lot of times you go and you see these marital therapists, and they're single.
You're not going to see a marital therapist who's single?
Yeah, yes, you do a lot of times.
No,
they're single. How do you know all this? I can tell you all this. That's why I'm not married, because I know all about it. Shut up. 766-9370. More things.
That's funny.
That you should go through before you get married. You should make a shared budget. You should stick to it. I'm going to race through these. Hit a rough patch, like a job loss, health scare, stressful event, and come out on the other side.
Yeah.
Go to couples therapy, according to this. My wife and I have never been to a couples therapy, and she's threatened it. And I think there was a time when I may have threatened it. This is going back, you know, a number of years. Back right, you know when they were going to invent the wheel?
Yeah.
That's when she said, hey, we should go to the couples therapy.
About the time they stopped riding horses?
Yeah, yeah, and we never did. And I'm glad we never did because we figured it out on our own. And I'm not saying therapy's bad for people who use it. Joe, you swear by it. That last guy with the wandering eye, he thinks it helps. If it helps, then it's worth it. I don't care how you do it.
And if you've gone to any significant amount of therapy and it's worked for you.
Yeah, which you have.
Which I have.
Yeah.
I hit it hard when we got divorced. I was upset. I wanted change in my life. I wanted to fix it, you know?
Yeah.
And if you've done any significant amount of it and it worked for you, you don't need to continue going because you can apply the principles that you learned when you helped and fixed yourself to any situation that hits you from this day forward.
Joe, do you think it's the third impartial party that is the most helpful to you or?
I think it is someone who does not know you.
Having a judge in a courtroom, Dana's saying, though, because you guys aren't hashing it out, having that neutral party.
Yes.
Huh.
Yes. It is someone who doesn't know who you are at all and can look at you both evenly. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah, but even though when you show up with that hair, she's not looking at you as an equal. She feels for Emily.
When I showed up to meet my therapist, my hair hadn't even begun growing yet. I just shaved it.
Yeah. God. This is one of the things Dana said that she thought couples should do before they get married. Live together. And that's what this says. You should live together. Spend a good amount of time together before you actually say, I do.
True.
And you need to learn to get out of a sexual rut and also talk about it. Meaning, is there something she's doing? Is there crackers in bed? Is she wearing ugly pants? You know, is she not doing it for you? Or are you not doing it for her? If there's something going on that's turning you off, then you got to sit down and say, hey, come on now. You got to quit wearing the sweatpants to bed. I need, a camisole. I need you to go to sleep in the yoga pants. You can't sleep in those stupid sweats. They're ugly. They're baggy. Whatever it is, you got to learn how to work through those things that you want sexually.
I'm willing to bet that since you used the word camisole, that it's probably come up in your...
Oh, did I meant to say Lysol.
Oh, did you? Yeah. Because I don't even know what that is.
It's just a negligee, a camisole, you know, like a little bra.
Okay, it's
thing.
Most certainly come up in your foreplay and your weird
honey,
sexual
you're not getting it done for me, man. I was online and I was checking out camisoles.
You can say it in a weird voice all you want. It doesn't mean it didn't come up behind the closed bedroom door. Or for your matter, in your house, probably an open bedroom door.
Yeah, I was looking online at camouflage camisoles, man. I really want you to get... No, I've never requested a camisole to fix things up.
You don't want to see your mom in a camisole? Don't come into our bedroom.
That's right. I've shouted that to my son.
Can I call Karen like for things that happen in your house,
even if it's not
at the workplace?
No, you can't call HR and me when I'm talking about my private life.
I'm scarred right now.
God, please call her.
Dana, what's wrong with the camisole? You don't wear a camisole for Kenny?
I'm not answering that question.
Is she going to call Karen?
Yeah, I'm going to call Karen.
Nor should she have to answer that question.
And one more thing comes to me for me, you know, being the veteran on the show, the marriage specialist.
Here's when you call yourself
that. Of course you
are.
Yeah.
I'm not. You could have easily, Joe, been married, you know, before me. Dana, you know, you're younger, so you didn't have a chance. On this show, I am the marriage expert, and I don't want to be that, but it just so happens that I am. I'm a marriage veteran.
Oh, geez.
This is the one other thing, too, as we talk about this, you should always do before you get married. What is it that you want to do with your life and your dreams? What are the things that you want accomplished as a couple or individual when you go off into this road of marital, whatever the hell it is? Do you want to become a doctor? Are you going to allow me time to go to school? Am I going to be able to do this? And that's really what it's all about, because once you put the foot down and say, hey, this is the path I'm going to choose, and if it's more prosperous or profitable, are you going to stay by me? That's a big, big conversation that a lot of couples don't have, because things do change. And if there's that one goal, like, hey, honey, remember when we were there at the river under the bridge and the sun was setting and I told you that I was going to have sex with a prostitute when I turned 45? Well, guess what tomorrow is? My 45th birthday.
Of course, that would be your goal in life.
Saying, whatever these life so goals dirty. Are, if you're up front.
Probably go a little more like this. You remember when we were underneath the bridge and that sunset and I told you I'd like to open a restaurant one day? I mean, I'm not sure if sex with a prostitute
I'm just saying. I was being stupid by saying that. I'm just saying whatever it is. If it's a restaurant and you've got these passions, they have to be on the same page. Both people. And you have to give the slack to the other if they've got those dreams they want to fulfill.
Would you call that being supportive of each other?
Yes.
or honest, yeah, supportive,
yeah,
and appreciating the other one you're going to spend your life with, you know, and wanting them to conquer those dreams and goals.
Also knowing, as and you could easily speak to this, knowing as you grow in life and get older and age and have children and jobs, you're going to change as a person.
Yeah.
The person you marry is not going to be the exact same person that is going to be there for your 25th wedding anniversary and your 50th.
And that sucks, because right now my wife listens to awful music. I can't even ride in the car with her.
Really? It sucks for you, huh? Not for her.
It's just awful what she wants to listen to nowadays, and I can't even do it. I always tell her. She's like, oh, you're stuck in the past. When did you show up at a discotheque that I didn't know about? You started hearing all these hits from all these kid bands and all this. She listens to crap.
You know what she does? She listens to the world around her. Yeah. You're in your own little old man bubble.
Oh,
yelling at people at gas stations.
Yeah. Now,
go ahead, Dan. I'm sorry.
Yes, he is yelling at people at gas stations.
I had a whole list of things I could have continued with. I'm so glad you stopped me.
Oh, my goodness.
Me.
Yeah, we would go on forever till 10 o'clock.
Pitching baggies. Okay, I'll stop.
Yeah, you know what? I'll just stop off and get a bunch of darts, and you can just throw them at me. Just throw darts at me. I don't care. I can take it.
Why are you eating dinner standing at the counter instead of sitting at the table? Okay, you got the fork turned the wrong way, cutting your meat.
Sorry, we're picking on Dog today.
I can't help. I'm particular.
All right.
Okay, my question, though, is, do you, because somebody brought this up when they called and they didn't hang, but do you feel like family, like your significant other's family, is a big factor too to get to know before you get married?
Oh, see, that's a good question too, Dana, because here's the thing.
Nope.
You don't.
No.
Here, I disagree with that. One of the things that has helped me and my wife, for me, not for her, her parents are instrumental, and I adore them so much as they do me. They like me more than I like them, but I love them a lot.
Yeah, but you had a really good situation with them, though.
Yeah, I really did, and they you know, pretty much raised me, and I have an immense amount of respect for them and their family, and I think they do for me, and that's a huge, huge part of it, too. Because you know they say this, and I've always told Joe this, if you want to find out what your bride-to-be is going to look like...
Don't say that.
Look at her mom.
God, don't say that.
And they also say, see, Joe doesn't like
that. God, do not say that.
See, and for me, it worked out great. I looked at my mother-in-law, and I'm like, wow, okay, my wife's going to look good when she gets older. You also have to listen to your friends and the family as to how they have a rapport and respect the other one. So family, Dana, it's a huge wedge or a huge wind behind you when the family likes you and you like the family. That can almost, if you're on the fritz, help you stay bounded and together. Yeah. It really is a big, big deal, yeah. I think.
I think that makes sense. But, I mean, I guess because from my own perspective, Kenny, I don't get along with Kenny's mom, and she doesn't get along with me. And it's kind of the same for Kenny and
your side.
Yes. And
so you have friction on both sides.
We have friction on both sides. And I think for us, it's more so being on the same page together on how we're going to deal with our family.
So that's where you guys unify, is how you're going to hate one or get one. Well, I guess that could be compatible.
I don't know. I mean, family's a big deal. I think to a lot of people, it's a big deal to me. So it's definitely hard. But I think, maybe being unified is the only thing we can do.
Yeah, you guys it's you two against your families.
I think you got lucky with your situation.
I was just going to say the same. My situation falls exactly to a T.
Yeah, because your in-laws hate you, right?
Hate me.
Yeah.
My wife's mother wishes I was dead.
No, she doesn't. Does she really?
Oh, she hates my guts, dude.
Hates you.
And probably has hated me since the first day she met me.
So she's like a lot of other...
Imagine being a godly Mormon woman and meeting me for the first time. And I'm a nice guy, but the way I look and I, you know, act and
all this talk and all this going to church all these years about the devil coming out of the ground, she thought that she saw the devil when her daughter brought you home.
Wait, Joe, do you think it has anything to do with your haircut? Does your mother-in-law hate you because of that haircut?
Yes. No,
well, not this haircut.
Yes.
Probably the one she met me with. That's when I had a short spike and a goatee.
She hasn't even seen this haircut. I mean, that is Lucifer walking on earth.
Yeah.
We got cash coming 20 minutes away. We got that. Plus, we're going to talk about this week's Thursday, Adorable Adoptable. Here's Aerosmith.